In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
He is not here, the angel said, for he has risen. He has risen as he said. The message the angel proclaimed was the resurrection of Jesus, who had been crucified. A wonderful message. A glorious truth, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary who came to the tomb early Easter morning rejoiced to hear. Contrary to all experience or reasonable expectation, their Lord, who had been killed, crucified, was now alive again. When the angel had finished speaking, the two Marys departed quickly from the tomb, departed with fear and great joy, and surely also with not a little confusion. They had come to Jesus' tomb that morning to finish the work of preparing his body for burial. Sundown on Friday had come so quickly after his death that they'd not been able to complete all that needed to be done. And so, having rested on the Sabbath, and then having gathered what was required after the sun had set on Saturday evening, early on Sunday morning they returned to the tomb. They had expected to find it, just as they had seen Joseph of Arimathea leave it late Friday afternoon. When they arrived, however, the great stone covering the entrance had been rolled back. The tomb was open, and an angel of the Lord was using the stone as a bench. The appearance of the angel, Matthew writes, was like lightning, his clothing as white as snow. It's no wonder the guards were petrified with fear at the sight of him. But the angel wouldn't have the women be fearful. "Stop being afraid," he said to them, "for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said." As he said. With this phrase, the angel points the women to Jesus' word. This thing that had happened, Jesus' resurrection, should not have come as a surprise. He had told them about it in advance. Even the chief priests and the Pharisees knew he had talked about this. When they had gone to Pilate after Jesus died, asking that the tomb be made secure, they had explained, "We remember how that impostor, while he was still alive, said, 'After 3 days, I will rise.'" They may well have been recalling the sign of Jonah, which Jesus had given them. "Just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish," he had told them, "so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." But Jesus had been far more transparent when speaking to those who followed him. Immediately after Peter's confession that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus had begun to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Following his transfiguration about a week later, Jesus again said to them, "The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day." A bit later, as they were going up to Jerusalem, Jesus had told them, "The Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. And he will be raised on the third day." Even as recently as the evening of Holy Thursday, Jesus had told them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." "He is not here," the angel said to the women, "for he has risen as he said." No one had ever done such a thing before. Dead people stay dead. To be sure, on very rare occasions, God had worked through a prophet or an apostle to restore to life people who had died. Jesus himself had called to life the son of a widow from Nain, the daughter of Jairus in Capernaum, and his own friend Lazarus in Bethany. But no one had ever said, "I'm going to be killed and on the third day be raised." Now, however, it had happened. I'm reminded of a quote attributed to Dizzy Dean, a baseball player from the 30s and 40s. He said, "It ain't bragging if you can back it up." Jesus wasn't bragging when he said that on the third day after he was crucified, he would be raised. What he said went against everything we know about life and death in this world. But he was telling the truth. Everything happened as he said. This is an important point because it means that we can trust what Jesus says. It means that he can do what he says he'll do. It means that he is who he says he is. He is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Christ, the long-promised Messiah. He is the resurrection and the life, the way and the truth and the life. He is the only way to the Father, the only door to heaven, the only source of salvation. The fact that he rose on the third day as he said gives us confidence that all of his teaching is true. God did love the world, giving his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus is indeed the Messiah who is coming, the Savior of the world. When he promises, everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day, you can take that to the bank. Through faith in Jesus, eternal life is yours. He will raise you up. When he says, "Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die forever." It's absolutely true. It's true that the wages of sin is death. Nevertheless, life, eternal life, is yours through faith in Jesus. And when he says, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to be with me where I am," that's exactly what he's done. The reason that he went to the cross was to prepare a place for you. He's done it. You can be certain that in the end, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise to meet the Lord, and we will always be with the Lord. Jesus said that he would rise from the dead on the third day. And that's what he did. That means you can take Jesus at his word when he says that all who believe and are baptized will be saved. Or when he says that the bread in his supper and the wine is his body and his blood. Or when he says that ministers have authority from him to forgive and retain sins in his stead. These promises are sure and certain. You can live and you can die with them. Christ cannot lie to you or deceive you. People may lie, but Jesus will not. His word is true, and he is true to his word. His rising from the dead shows it. And so today we meet Jesus where he has told us he would come to us, in his word, at his supper, in his church. For where as few as two or three are gathered together in his name, he is there in the midst of them. There. Here. To bless you with forgiveness and faith until that day that he turns faith into sight and takes you and everyone who has trusted in him to be with him in glory forever. After all, he is risen as he said. Thank God. Amen. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.